بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Why you talk so fast, bro?
Listen, alright, anyways. Today, I really do.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Look, if he talks fast, go ahead and leave a comment right now. Let us know if Osman speaks way too fast.
Anyways, today, Hussein brought a new topic for us to speak about, and that is why some people think wealth is evil, and we're going to explain why it's not evil.
It's not just wealth. It's like all material possessions, right? Like some people think that there may be a misconception between your desires. Some people fear their desires, so they think it's evil altogether. Some people, but the people who can control their desires know that there's no reason to fear them.
But you know what's interesting is that, like you said, like they fear their desires, but the reality is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a way to fill every single one of our desires in a halal way. It's just a choice between halal and haram. So like, for example, we get hungry, Allah gives us, there's halal food and there's haram food. There's a halal way you can fulfill that desire, and there's a haram way you can fulfill that desire. It's not like you have to fear it all together and leave it all together. Just like you can want material possession, you can want fast cars, you could want a big house, a big home. That does not take away from you, like, your religion at all. And people make this big distinction saying that, oh, if you choose to live in a comfortable home, have nice clothes, have comfortable shoes, things like this, that you've automatically chose the dunya. They'll say that, or you chose the dunya, or you've prioritized this over your deen, which is not entirely true. And it's like, it's an evil, it's like a wrong assumption to make.
And you as a Muslim, you should always want to try and strive to have the upper hand. You never want to be reliant on, let's say, the non-Muslims to be a source of your income or housing or anything like that. You as a Muslim, you should want to go above and beyond. Like, there's so many Muslims all around the world. Like, we all specialize in different things. Like, imagine if we actually took those things, collaborated, and made the best out of it instead of fearing, you know, that we're going to do wrong by it. We'd be a lot more powerful than we are today. We'd go back to another Islamic golden age.
No, that's facts. Like what you said, we should always be looking for the upper hand. And some of the Muslims I've seen, at least on social media, you know, they try to handicap themselves, right? We try to start a project and, you know, they tell us we chose the dunya because we're going out striving for wealth in the cause of Allah. But did you know that the Prophet ﷺ said that striving for wealth is like striving in the battlefield? Meaning it's not going to be easy. So if you do it for the sake of Allah, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be so much more fulfilling because you earned in the halal way, you did it for the sake of Allah, and you use that money to propel you forward, like to do more good actions, right? So when we're told wealth is not going to follow you to the grave, it's not going to follow you on the day of judgment, what you did with it will, though.
It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And they use that as an excuse. Some people will use that as an excuse to be lazy and to not want to do anything at all and to not want to do anything with their life. They'll sit here. Like, it takes me back to the statement, you know, like the strong believer is better than and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. Mm-hmm. It's talking about in terms of strength, like a physical strength, you know?
But why is that, though?
You can be more of an asset to Allah.
But yeah, not only that, but like the thing is, the stronger believer is less likely to be influenced by the non-believer, right? For example, like, like let's say someone's trying to fight you because of your religion, which is, as we see nowadays, is not an uncommon thing. You know, the stronger Muslim is more likely to stand firm on what he has to say over the, you know, one who's probably weaker, who might fold. You never know.
And those who believe like that physical confrontation has no place, like it's just a lie. Whenever you meet someone, whenever you have an argument with someone, like the idea of like physical interaction, it's always there. Like the thought is always there.
Bro, how many battles did the Prophet?
Yeah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, like
plenty.
Take place? Yeah,
plenty. And we're told to fight in the way of Allah whenever we need to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't go out here looking for trouble.
I know, but common misconception is that, like, Islam, like, they think that Islam is a pacifist religion. Like, Islam is not a pacifist religion. If we need to take up arms, and like,
speaking about this wealth and, you know, using it for the sake of Allah, imagine I'm a guy, right? Let's say I have four wives, and let's say I have, like, 20 children. You think I'm going to provide for all those children with no money? You think I'm not going to be needing to make a lot of money to provide for all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to some of you guys, this might sound like a joke, but this is real. Like, forget even having multiple wives. Imagine you have one wife and you have, like, five children. You're going to need a lot of money to go ahead and provide for these children, depending on the society that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even today, like, it's going to it's going to cost you a decent amount. Like, and it's not even for the fact of that. It's just like, what's wrong with wanting a good lifestyle? Because if you feel in your heart that you having a better lifestyle, you earning a better income, you starting your own business or anything is going to bring you closer to Allah, and you pray to Allah that that is the case, then who is anybody to tell you that you chose the dunya? Mm-hmm. Allah tells you not to forget your
portion.
Yeah, so like if you're told something like that, and then you have stories in the Quran of people who are pious Muslims, prophets for that matter, that were so wealthy that they were given a dominion that nobody ever was able to inherit, like Sulaiman alayhi salam, mm-hmm. then why would you ever think that wealth is not something that you can strive for?
Yeah, when people say money is the root of all evil, why do you let money get to the point where you allow it to become the root of all evil?
Yeah, I think it's just...
You're allowing money to control you. Yeah, exactly. That just shows that you're not putting Allah first, because when you put Allah first and you do everything for His sake, there's no way that it can turn evil. Exactly. No way.
Money don't make us. We make money. And that's like the idea I adopted is that money, it's not the root of all evil. Money amplifies. So if you were evil before you have money and then you get money, you're just going to be more evil. And if you're a good person before you have money, you're just going to be like a better person. And I think, and you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, there's so much emphasis on charity in the Quran. Like, how could you think that, like, money is a root of evil when it could be a means of helping many people? Oh, it's a resource.
No, this is such a great point, because I remember me and my friend back in high school, we used to always talk about, you know, wanting to make a lot of money. And there was a girl in class, she told him, she said, why do you always talk about money? You're so selfish. You're so self-centered. Like, what is it with your obsession with money? Like, how can you be so selfish? And he said, oh, so I'm so selfish because I want to make a lot of money to help people out. Then what do you think her response was? Nothing. Because what are you going to say to that? Mm-hmm. Why? Like, the fact that you're sitting here and thinking that people have those types of intentions, what does that say about yourself? Because those are probably the thoughts that you're having. So if you're assuming that about another person, you know for yourself that you have those thoughts. So you're going to assume that onto another person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to think about it as if you're not striving to do your best, even if Allah wrote something different for you, like let's say you strive for a level of provision that Allah didn't write for you, because maybe He knew you were going to abuse it, but you still striving that way, you're going to get rewarded regardless, even whether it's with that provision or not, because you'll see those efforts in the hereafter.
And I believe struggling and striving does not go unnoticed. Like, it does not go unnoticed at all. Like, we were born and we are slaves of Allah. So I'm going to work as hard as I can because I'm a slave to God. It doesn't matter. It's not like I'm working for another person. I'm working for me, because our plan is, it goes beyond this world. It goes to the hereafter. So I'm working. I believe that Allah, it does not go unnoticed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, affirms this in the Quran. Like, those who go and struggle and strive in the way of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like, even, you know, when He commands the Muslims to go for Jum'ah on Fridays and pray in congregation, after that, go and, like, traverse the lands and seek the bounty of Allah.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I can't live with this, like, level of mediocrity. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I confine myself to limits that Allah did not confine me to? Allah never said you have to be like a mediocre layman. Like, no, He said you could go do whatever you want, bro. Mm-hmm. If Allah wills it for you, then who's going to tell you otherwise?
And
in
some people, they think so little of Allah. They think so little that so much so that they won't ask big. They think that their du'as, they have to limit themselves because they're not good enough or not. Like, no, you gotta understand who you're asking here. You're asking God. And they think so little that they won't even ask, like, to that point. But you have to understand, it's just like you brought up Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was a prophet, and he made a dua to Allah asking Allah to give him a kingdom that no one will inherit after him. Look at the nature of his dua. He asked God for a kingdom, and it was granted. And look, nowadays, we're scared to ask Allah for even, like, a little bit of money, or we're scared to ask Allah for a victory or to get a job, because you don't think you can do it. Like, it's not about you. Surely Allah is capable of all things.
What were you going to say?
No, it was about being mediocre, because I remember, like, last year, 2023, I was watching this video of David Goggins, and the thing that stuck out to me the most was, you want to be mediocre? And I was just like, man, I don't want to be mediocre. but seriously, I took that, and I was like, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to go the furthest in my religion, in the gym, in my wealth, and everything, in every single aspect of my life, and they're all going to go for the sake of Allah. Because when I do it like that, I'm going to be like the most well-rounded person. I'm going to be the best version of myself. There's no stopping me. You know what I mean?
That, look, this goes hand in hand with what you both just said, right? So when we think about what we can ask from Allah and what we can do in our life, we're not trying to be mediocre. And it affirms a hadith, hadith Qudsi, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am what my slave thinks of me. So if you believe, regardless of where you're living or where you're at in your life, that you asking for something can bring you closer to Allah, and you make those actions to ensure that whatever you're asking for is something that Allah can plan for you, then who is anyone to tell you that you can't do that? Or who are you yourself to tell you that that's not capable for you? All right, if you don't take the necessary precautions to try and fulfill a dua yourself through the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's giving you opportunities every single day, you ask a dua, right after that, you're going to have some sort of opportunity to make that dua come to fruition in some way, shape, or form. Whether that's Allah alleviating a hardship from you, or a calamity, or forgiving your sins, or granting you something even better than that thing, then you have all the opportunity available to you. But if you don't notice those opportunities as they arise, literally every single breath is an opportunity.
I like the fact, this type of thinking, where Allah would not have guided you to make that dua if He did not want to grant it to you or something better. If you have this type of mentality as a Muslim, like, what's stopping you from making a dua? Like, honestly speaking.
I'll put it into perspective. How many times from the Quran, from the Seerah, have we seen a prophet in an impossible situation? They put their trust in Allah, and those opposing them put their trust in themselves, and we saw the prophet get proven right time and time again. When Nuh alayhi salam was building the ark, and the people, they laughed at him, they mocked him, and look how right he got proved.
But hold on, you also have people on the other hand too. They're sitting there constantly making dua for something, and they feel like they're never getting anything out of it. And I was, you know, subhanAllah, I was watching a lecture on the way here, and it was talking about the best type of dua to make. You know what it is? The best type, what the best dua is? Ihdina siratal mustaqim, right? This is the best dua. We as Muslims, we say this minimum 17 times a day, right? We say it in Al-Fatiha. But, you know, there's 2 billion Muslims in the world, and let's say, you know, let's just take a billion of them. A billion Muslims in the world every single day asking 17 times a day, Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Like, why is it that we're in such a place right now? Because in the way that we're asking it, we're sitting there, we're rushing through our prayers. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're just sitting there, you're rushing through. Like, what kind of demand is this? Mm-hmm. You're sitting there, you're asking Allah. You need to go up to Allah with the utmost respect. Like, you're asking Rabbul Alameen, the King of Kings. When you actually sit there and you have that full belief, then Allah will grant you. Imagine the place that we'd be in right now. We'd be sitting there doing things the correct way. We're actually sitting there reflecting and thinking about what Allah has said. Because we're not. It's just going right over our heads. And then that's all the Muslim. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then we just go on about our day. We're rushing to the next thing. I need to finish my prayers so I can get back to work. I need to finish my prayers so I can go back to watching movies. I need to finish my prayers so I can go back to my family that's waiting for me. I need to finish my prayers so I can go back to my haram relationship that I'm in. Like, it's crazy. And then you wonder why nothing in your life has come to fruition.
And you ask yourself, look, did I do this action the way that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did? Mm-hmm. If you can't ask yourself these types of questions, or think of yourself, or think about your family members or the people around you, like, are these actions that I'm doing, would I be remembered as someone who followed the sunnah? Mm-hmm. Did I make a dua in the way of the sunnah in the best manner? Did I pray in the best manner? Then you don't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any reason to elevate your status. And if you're asking a dua, right, and you don't know if it's going to get accepted or not, for one, Allah would not guide you to it if He didn't want to grant it to you in some way, shape, mm-hmm. or form, right? So if you're asking these types of du'as, making these prayers, wanting these things in your heart, but you're not taking, you know, those reflections of what you're doing and how they're affecting your life, then Allah will never have any reason to accept from you.
Matter of fact, going back to the du'a we just literally went over, Ihdina siratal mustaqim, if you say this du'a and it gets granted to you, that means everything that you do in your life is all for the sake of Allah. Everything that you do will be the best for you. Because you're asking Allah to give you that guidance.
I mean, I want you to know right now. If
that's a good point. That's
listen, really good point. If you pray your one prayer and you say Ihdina siratal mustaqim, the next prayer you pray, it's already been answered.
Yep.
Because Allah grants you permission every prayer that you do. So every time you say Ihdina siratal mustaqim, Allah is accepting that prayer. Dang. And you're going to get rewarded with every prayer that you do. But of course, the more perfect the prayer is, the more you strive to do your best in the prayer, the more reward you're going to get. So you're going to get rewarded for every single prayer. But if you're just rushing through it, then you're not giving Allah any urgency that you really want that guidance, that you want to go even further than going to the next prayer, that you maybe want to adopt a sunnah, or that you want to be able to make some sort of dua that elevates you so high in this dunya.
Like, I want you to think about the importance of that line, right? Why do we repeat this so many times a day? Allah makes what type of deeds mandatory, right? The ones that He loves the most. Allah makes things that He loves the most fard. So we're sitting here, we're reciting Al-Fatiha 17 times a day. Like, we should not be reciting any other surah more than we recite Al-Fatiha. You ever heard somebody say, I'm bored of reciting Al-Fatiha? You ever heard that? No, you never heard of that.
Never heard.
But yet again, we sit here and we constantly recite it in our sunnah prayers, in our fard prayers, like all over the world. Like, we're sitting there, we're revising it. I remember, what's it called? Last year when I was telling you, I was like, oh, I want to revise my Quran. And I was like, you know what I'm going to start off with? I'm going to start off with Al-Fatiha. And I was like, I know, I already know the surah, but I want to make it the most perfect surah that I know. I want to make sure that this is the, every time I recite Al-Fatiha, it's the best thing that I recite. Because it's the most important surah of the Quran. Like, if there was one line that would summarize the entire Quran, it's Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Like, Allah alone you worship, and Him alone we ask for help. Al-Fatiha is such a special surah. Like, you implement Al-Fatiha in your life, there's no way that you can lose.
I find it ironic how we started this episode talking about wealth, and then we moved into dua, and then we moved into prayer, and then we moved to Fatiha. Allahu Akbar. It's almost like subconscious. Like, we know, like, wealth, it's there, it's nice, and we strive for it. But like, I would never meet more of a solid person than the people, like, I go, like, you see them in the mosque, and you see them for Fajr, and then you go in the mosque, you see them for Dhuhr, and then you go in the mosque, you see them for Asr, and then you go and you see them for Maghrib, and then you see them for Isha. You would never meet more of a solid person. Like, and I can't, I just look at them, and it's like, I trust them with everything. Mm-hmm. I'll let this person drive my car, and I know it'll come back in one piece.
And here's the thing. We start off this episode talking about wealth. We start off talking about money, but that's only a small aspect of wealth.
Of your life, yeah. Some people, like, make it their entire life.
Like, wealth is a big thing, right? It's not just money. Your health is also your wealth. Mm-hmm. Your salah is also your wealth. Like, if all right, look, the most important factor of your wealth is your iman. Without your iman, like, your wealth is pretty much worthless. Mm-hmm. But if you mix in your iman with everything else will follow behind it.
It's like a catalyst. It amplifies everything else.
And we're not sitting here talking about, like, oh, striving to become like a billionaire or something. But it's like, when we mention mediocrity, we just mean knowing that you're not living up to your fullest potential.
And not
because
trying your
what
best,
will yeah. you do on the day of judgment when Allah asks you why you lived your life in this way and He gave you the opportunity to
Man,
do this?
Man, that's such a good point. I live by this point as well. That is such a disrespect to Allah. When Allah sits there and He gives you potential, when He gives you guidance, when He gives you everything, and you sit there and you make a waste of it. You make a fool of yourself. You sit there and you're fulfilling haram desires and, you know, making waste of everything that He has given you. Like, imagine Allah gives you a solid, solid, solid education. You can sit here, you can change lives. And yet you sit there and you do the complete opposite with it. Like, for example, I don't know, become like a hacker and I start robbing banks because of the knowledge that I've acquired, right? But on the other hand, you could have done something way greater with that knowledge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Or becoming someone of knowledge and withholding it. Or becoming someone with wealth and not giving back to the people. Or having so many abilities, so many opportunities to elevate yourself by the decree of Allah, by the permission of Allah, that it would have made you a better Muslim, but you just did not take the chance, maybe out of fear of what it would do for yourself. But when you fear anything other than Allah, you don't have tawakkul. And that's probably the realest statement I could tell you throughout this entire like podcast, is that if you fear anything other than Allah, then you have no tawakkul. Because why would I fear going out striving for wealth if I'm doing it for the sake of Allah? Mm. If I fail, then I know that Allah didn't write that for me. If I get it, then I know Allah wrote it for me.
About to say, what's the worst that can happen to you? You go out, you strive fi sabilillah. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? You die? Is that such a bad thing?
No.
Bro, subhanAllah. In the way of Allah, you can't think of like, what's the worst that can happen? All of it ends up in a good thing.
Exactly.
Because striving for Allah, for one, you can get the thing you want, or you can find contentment. You can find humbleness and humility. And either way, you're either a more grateful servant or you're someone turning back to Allah seeking His bounty.
Not only that, you got to also think about the journey and the process that you are taking. That ultimately, you will come out a better person 100% of the time. 100% of the time, you will come out a better person. Like, you will learn things about yourself that you never knew.
That's actually something I like. When I watch like these like lectures and videos from Muslims who like became entrepreneurs, right? And they found financial independency, right? I see that they never started with success. They didn't start off being a millionaire. They didn't start off with their first business being successful. They took like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 businesses before they found the one that works for them. And it shows you that, one, this wealth was a blessing and a test because they acquired the wealth that they sought, but it was also a test because Allah put them through so many failures before they realized, I'm not going to give up. I feel like this is my path and I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep striving because not only is this something I want, but I feel like it's something that's going to bring me closer to Allah. And lo and behold, if it does bring you closer to Allah and you acquire it, then Allah wrote that for you, right? So when I see that, I'm just like, bro, you see the moral of all these people who seek success, it's never giving up. They never let anything turn them away.
Mm-hmm. If you never give up, you have nothing to worry about.
Unrelenting ambition.
And that should be the ambition of a Muslim, because look, shaitan has an unrelenting ambition to turn you away from Allah. If you have an unrelenting ambition to get closer to Allah by any means necessary, you're going to.
And wallahi, you don't, like, some people don't understand, like what that really means. That unrelenting ambition to turn to Allah, it doesn't matter how big of a sin committed. You will not let that turn you away from Allah. Like, you can't live your life without it. Like, it's like how whenever, like, we'll be late to a prayer and, like, it'll make us groggy, it'll make us all, like, upset and, like, we'll have, be in bad mood. Like, we need to... Like, I can't imagine a life waking up and I didn't pray Fajr. I just woke up. I'm continuing my day. I didn't even pray Dhuhr. I just woke up. I'm continuing my life. Could you imagine living like that? Like, I literally can't even imagine living like that.
What, continuing your day without praying?
Without recognizing Allah in any which way.
Because the fear of death will just, like, strike me like this. And you're not supposed to fear death. But if you're not, like, worshiping Allah, then obviously you're going to fear death because you don't know what's going to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course. We always want our last deeds to be our best deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if not, bro, then it's crazy. That's why, like something like we talked about, like, a few podcast episodes ago, like, something I just started implementing is just anything I do, like, just try to involve Allah. Like, if you're sitting there, like, walking towards your car, like, make a istighfar every single step that you go. Like, I don't know, like, do something.
Yeah.
Like, make use of your time.
Bro, honestly.
Cause you know what that really is, right? Like when you do like little things like that, like you are optimizing yourself.
Yeah.
Like, we want self optimization mentally, physically, and spiritually. Like, if you self optimize yourself in every single way, you cannot fail at all. I don't care what anybody has to say.
Not only that, well, like, when you begin to self optimize, you even notice that you're worried about yourself more, and you're less worried about other people, and you're not talking bad about people no more. You're not worried about what they got going on. You're worried about yourself, and you're worried about your connection with God.
And in return, Allah will bless you with everything that you know that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Allah is sufficient for you.
And it makes me think of the verse of in the Quran, "Oh mankind, what has deceived you about your Lord, the generous?" Think about it. What has deceived you about your Lord, the generous? Like, Allah, He's revealed 99 names to us. One of them being the Al-Kareem. Yeah, think about that.
I want people to really, like, hone in on how you approach your everyday life and the goals that you set for yourself. Because if you're not someone who's goal-oriented, if you're not someone who's tackling your days, your weeks, your months, and your years, striving to get closer to Allah, then you're mediocre. And someone needs to tell you that you tell yourself, or someone needs to tell you that you can do better. Because if you don't tell yourself constantly, if you're not your biggest critic, then you need to surround yourself with better people. Because me personally, I'm my biggest critic. Every single day, I'm like, man, I could have done better. I could have made more istighfar today. I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, I could have read more Quran today. Even though I spent a whole hour listening to it while I was in the gym, while I was in the car, to the gym and back from the gym. But I'm like, no, I could have done better. I could have done better here. I could have used my time better here. And where does that all come from? It makes me worship Allah more. It makes me want to turn to Allah even more, because I'm like, Allah gives me this ability. He gives me the time, and He allows me to make this time, to maximize my time, essentially, right? And it was something you said. It was something so simple. You were like, bro, can Allah not make like 3 hours of sleep feel like 8?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, hey, for man. Sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
We all have the same 24 hours, but Allah can, like, He can lengthen that time for you. It mm-hmm. can feel like, oh yeah, that 24 hours, but I got like 48 hours worth of work done.
Man, like matter of fact, like you ever like see those skits on Instagram, and it'd be like that one unemployed friend would be having like 72 hours in a day, and it's just be like, and you're just sitting there thinking like, dang, bro, imagine I had those same 72 hours in a day, but I was using it for good.
No, facts. Like it just makes me think like, the more you maximize your time for Allah and strive for Allah, the more time you're going to feel like you have.
Yeah,
time only flies when you're doing stuff that's not bringing you close to Allah.
Look, it's like quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. It's like,
bro, you see this in the most effect when you actually get up early and you worship Allah from like the morning, and then you get your day started from the early on. Then, you know, it feels like you did so much in such little time.
Yes.
Like, look, man, I experimented this like last week. I was sitting there. I got up for Fajr, didn't go back to sleep, sat there and, you know, was just reading Quran and stuff like that. And then after that, then I went to work, and it's just like, I felt like I completed my whole day already. And it's just like, it came to the end of the day. It was like, you know, 6 o'clock, and I was like, bro, I'm like, I already did everything I need to do from the day. Like now, whatever I do now, it feels like extra credit.
No, that's funny.
No, but even, bro, even remember when we were in Egypt, like, and we had those days where we had to start really early. Dude, it felt like we lived 3 days in one day.
Nah, for real.
It felt like we was getting so much done. I want to keep on reliving those. It's like I'm getting more out of my life than anyone else because you sitting here sleeping.
Nah, yeah, bro. Those days, bro, you be sitting there waking up at 2 p.m. and you're just like,
boom, I feel so bad. Like my heart hurts.
Those days in Egypt, though, I'm not going to lie, we were waking up so early and I was just sitting like, the whole day felt so long. But then at the same time, it felt like we did so much. And then I come back feeling so fulfilled because I'm like, I spent my entire day doing something.
It felt like I deserved
to sleep. Hold on, though. Speaking about deserving to sleep, those days, we'd get up so early, but then we'd sleep at like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning again. Like, we get like 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and then we're working the entire day, bro. And then we come back, and we're like, bro.
It wasn't even that bad.
We worked the entire day. We did so much today, and like, we still like, I ain't gonna lie, we were mad tired, but like, it felt like we had enough energy to get by through the entire day.
Yeah.
Well, that's facts. And like, really, the only thing you can do there is just like, is thank God, because even though we took like, you know, little short naps on the bus, it still baffled me the fact that I felt like I was on 8 hours of sleep whenever I was awake, and I'm just like walking around like it's normal, like there's nothing wrong with me or anything like that.
You know what's crazy? Man, it'd be the days where I get 10 hours of sleep and I wake up and I'm still tired. But when I get 3 hours of sleep, I wake up and I'm energized. And it feels like I can do everything in the world.
It's just all about perspective.
Look, I get it.
You talking about those naps on the bus? Take that as a nap, my friend. Allah has blessed us with that time to sleep on the bus so that we can, you know, get our energy back. But speaking about those like days where you sleep only 3 hours and you make it feel like a lot. Mm-hmm. I wake up with those days. I'm like, man, I'm not even going to sleep tonight. I'm going to take a nap. I take a nap, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling good in the morning. That's it. Like, I ain't going to lie. Yesterday, I slept like 4 hours, and like I went through the whole entire day, and I got back home. I took like an hour nap. But that was like the first nap I took in like months. It's crazy.
Bro, the last Ramadan that we just like we had, I don't like, I'll tell this right now. I was in high school. I go to school at like 8 a.m. The local mosque, they would host Qiyam and Taraweeh. I go Taraweeh, I come home, I sleep for 2 hours, and I go to the Qiyam. The Qiyam would last up until like before Fajr, they would have surah. I'm like, all right, might as well stay. And I got school in the morning. Well, I got school like in 2 hours. I'm like, all right, you know, might as well stay. Two hours of sleep. I'd go out, eat breakfast, and then I'd sit down with a couple of the brothers. They'd make the adhan for Fajr, and then I'm talking with the brothers. And like, bro, we're having the most meaningful talks. This is like towards like the last third of night in Ramadan. Then we'll pray Fajr, and then after Fajr, we still sit and talk. And we're talking in the masjid, and I'm talking to these brothers, and I'm like, and I've never had, like, I was so excited. Like, I just had so much energy. I didn't even, like, I forgot to sleep. I forgot that I had no sleep. And then I go to school, and I have more energy than everyone else. And, it, like, sleep wasn't even a thought in my mind. I didn't even think, like, yeah, I gotta go get sleep. I'm tired of that. Like, I didn't even drink coffee either.
That's wicked.
I'm like, yo, and I come home. I'm like, should I take a nap? Nah, I don't want to take a nap. I want to stay awake because the sun's out. I'm enjoying myself. I'm like, yo, and that's how I was living. Like towards like the last 10 nights on Ramadan, that's how it was.
No sleep? Yeah, you tripping, bro.
No sleep. And it wasn't even like I didn't even have eye bags. My eyes weren't even falling.
Man, when we were in Egypt, I'd say the whole duration that we were there, I probably slept like 24 hours.
And we were there for 7 days, just for reference.
Yeah, probably somewhere around there. I'm gonna lie, because even the days that we felt like we slept, it didn't, like, you'd wake up feeling like, bro, I didn't get no sleep.
No. We'd go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd wake up at Frederick like 5:30, and I couldn't go back to sleep. I don't know about them. They go back to sleep. Me, I could not, bro. Like, it's crazy. But, you know, I was fine, you know.
Alhamdulillah, bro.
Alhamdulillah.
We still here.
But yeah, this sums up this podcast. You know, not like fearing anything but Allah, not fearing any of these material possessions, knowing not to let any of them enter your heart, keep them, especially the ones that can be a means of halal for you, then, you know, keep them in your hand where you can control them. Don't let them control you. And don't ever look down on someone who's striving for these causes, because you never know how much closer that's bringing them to Allah, right? And you should always humble yourself if you see someone doing whatever it is that they're doing it for the sake of Allah, not any other reason.
Stop having these bad intentions,
yeah,
bad assumptions.
Don't ever assume bad intentions of anyone, because if you assume bad intentions of someone, that means you have bad intentions. So with that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hope you guys enjoyed this. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. Make sure to join our Discord server. Also join our Guided Success community. We're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.